are now listening to the Fantasy Standard Podcast on Talkdown TV with P and Ryan.
Welcome to the Fantasy Standard Podcast on Talkdown TV. This is P alongside Ryan. If you're watching, it means you're on YouTube, and we kindly ask that you drop a like and hit that subscribe button. If you're listening, it means you're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audioboom, and all other podcast platforms. We also kindly ask that you hit that subscribe button and leave a review.
What up, what up, what up?
What's up, man? NFL, we got week four, but we got something to talk about before we get into this. So we just had a peculiar case when we're discussing two matchups this week and when it pertains to the pandemic that, we're dealing with.
Yeah, man. We got the Tennessee Titans versus the Pittsburgh Steelers game. Officially has been postponed. They're moving it to another date. Mm-hmm. They're talking about either Monday or Tuesday. So we might have two primetime games, Monday or Tuesday. And then the other game, what's going on with the other team? The Vikings are playing the Texans, right? They haven't said anything about postponing that.
I don't think that game's being postponed, like changed.
But, I mean, this goes to show that, I mean, this thing is real.
Yeah.
You are susceptible to catching it. And people do have to take precaution and not be as irresponsible as it seems some of these teams were.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what happened with Major League Baseball and the fact that they, in the beginning, you know, they had a few players that maybe were in Miami. They probably went out together just to get maybe an innocent dinner. And you know that Florida was one of the first states to kind of open for outdoor dining and stuff like that. So you see that it in football, it's important if you lose people. It's not just like you can replace football players talent-wise. But it looks like they're going to play. It looks like it's not like an impactful player. Not that they don't matter.
Yeah.
But it looks like you said, I believe you mentioned Monday. It looks like they're going to probably reschedule the Pittsburgh game.
Yeah, Monday or Tuesday, they're saying. It's not sure yet, but we'll see.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that they have like some – that they're adjusting quickly.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, this is important. This is it's football is a way for us to escape, especially during this time where we can't really go where we want to go. And for it to even affect that, it's kind of like, you know, it brings it right back to the forefront that we're dealing with this and we have to make sure that we're responsible.
No, facts.
All right, let's go over to week four because we're still keeping pace with being good at making these picks, right? And the players being that we're good. Picking.
Being better than good, I think, at this point. It's been 3 weeks, and I think we're respectfully 33-14-1 myself, and you're 34-13-1, so way above 500, 20 games above 500, 19 games above 500. Above 500 every single week. Last week we had a tie, rare. We'll talk about that when the Eagles matchup comes up.
Yeah.
But man, look, not to toot our own horns, but we're pretty decent at picking games right now. And again, some of these seem pretty blatant, but I mean, I've seen some experts that aren't doing as well.
Yeah.
They get paid to do this.
I just feel like we know the game also, right? We don't know it, maybe how coaches know it, but we do love the game. So this is new to me, like really putting in research to do these picks because I've always gone with my gut. But I think I've gotten better adding that little element and nuances via statistics that I wasn't really privy to before. But I'm better for it, as you can see. Let's go to the Thursday night game. And I feel like every Thursday we get like a Super Bowl preview type matchup. And this is one of them.
Super Bowl? Was that a joke?
I was trying to deadpan it.
Did you say Stupid right? Bowl or Super Bowl? I didn't hear you correctly.
Yeah, I think the T was supposed to
this
be.
This might be the Toilet Bowl. This is probably the two worst teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
Battling for the number one overall pick.
What's the line?
Both coaches
here?
Fighting for their jobs. man, look, this is going to be an ugly one. A lot of not fantasy relevant players. Mm-hmm. Anybody who was fantasy relevant is hurt. Like, what do you have to look for?
What's the line for this one?
So right now they got it at a measly over under a 40.5.
Wow. And
they got the Jets favored by one, which has been flipping flopping. It's more like a pick 'em pretty much at this point. Who are you looking at? Are you looking at anybody?
Okay, so when I was doing the research for this one, I said, you know, the Jets, I can just skim that. I'm not really going to go into the Jets, but I did my due diligence. I feel like there might be some gems, and you know us, we like mining for these gems that could be in there. I just wanted to drop some nuggets on them first. When it comes to the Jets and Adam Gase and the genius that he is, the Jets have had 7 Jet running backs with touches.
This year.
6 of them with more than 3 touches and rushes.
Yeah.
Not touches, rushes. Frank Gore has 42 carries.
Overreliable.
I just don't understand how you can have even a Pirine, right? Like, who looks like a good prospect. You have an Adams who looks like he could be, and you land on Gore as being the person that's going to lead your backfield while Bell is gone. And I feel like Gase has always done this with his backfield.
Yeah, for me, like, when you're bad as the Jets are, aren't you trying to figure out what talent you have and trying to develop? What are you going to develop in Frank Gore? He's got 1 foot out the door. At this point, he's just trying to add on to his yardage. Like,
it doesn't make
AP to me.
If the Jets were competing and you knew they were going to compete, then I get it. But I don't get it.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Yeah, so I do have a player to look at, and I think that you probably have the same player, and you've seen this player being put around. The Jets wide receivers are all hurt. We still haven't seen the rookie that they drafted. Perriman is hurt, and I think Perriman is perennially hurt, right? He's always, that's been his thing, his career. So Braxton Berrios, you see his name, and then you see in game when they're trying to catch up, which is what the Jets are going to do a lot this year. You see that Darnold is making. I said Bradford. Damn.
Same difference.
Darnold is actually making an attempt to look at him, and it looks like he's a great route runner. He finds a way to get open. So 10 catches, 123 yards, and 2 touchdowns, 12 targets. I think that's within the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. It seems like for me, every time I see Berrios catching a touchdown, he just knows how to get open.
Mm-hmm.
It was always on Bradford. Look at you. It's always on Darnold escaping the pocket, which he does really well, making a throw on the run. And just to prove your point even more, I had wide receivers I like more this week, and here I have whoever the Jets number one is, and it seems to be like Berrios is. The Broncos are giving up the 5th most fantasy points to wide receiver in standard football leagues, mm-hmm. with 29.53. So I can see him again producing, getting like 80 receiving yards and maybe getting into the end zone again. So as a DFS play, maybe that's something. And if you're really, 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 really desperate at wide receiver, that's somebody that you could probably plug in.
Yeah, and on the tight end front, Herndon, 16 targets. You don't love the numbers per se, but you PPR, he would be valuable if you needed to put him in as an injury replacement. Mm-hmm. The Broncos, I would say that the Jets, when you look at their offense statistically, it is the worst offense statistically in the league. Just look at the yards and just raw data, looking at yards.
Well, look who's running that offense.
And he's going up against his former team. The one thing that I will say, let me give you some Denver players first before I make my pick, or before we make our pick. Brett Rippon, is he the quarterback? Because he looked pretty good. Eight out of 9, 88% completion percentage. But the 5.9 yards per attempt, it means he was doing a lot of dinking and dunking. I'm not sure if – I don't know if he's going to be ready for a Thursday night game. And I think that his receiver just went down, right? He just lost his best receiver. He just lost – although it's Fant, the guy there, right? Noah Fant, 21 targets, 14 catches, 173 yards. What do you see in Denver?
So I just see that Denver actually tries to compete. Something mm-hmm. that the Jets have not done all year. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't just – for me, it's always been about effort. Like, they have no effort at all. Even when Drew Lock got knocked out the game in week two versus Pittsburgh. They still put up a fight and only lost by 5 points versus the Steelers.
Yeah.
Last week against Tampa Bay, maybe they were overmatched. They were getting bullied by Mike Evans. They did well against the run for the most part. What do the Jets have to offer? And we talked about it. Nothing. The passing game, maybe. But what are we going to expect? I expect it to be a very low-scoring game. So does Vegas.
Yeah.
For me, I'm going to just go with the team and to make my pick, unless you got something else to add here. I just want to go with the team that's actually been competing more and showing me a history of competing this week. It's hard for me to pick a team led by Gase because I just don't believe he's a good coach. And he's literally fighting for his job. So, to defend your potential pick, he might be trying to prove that on national TV.
Yeah.
With the Denver Broncos here, who are you going with?
I'm just one more thing. Gordon, 42 carries, 174 yards, 4.14, a very respectable 4.14 yards per carry and a touchdown while Lindsey was gone. Lindsey's coming back. So, Freeman, you can pretty much, you know, if you're in fantasy, you're looking at a running back, don't even stash him. I don't even think he's going to be relevant right now. Lindsey coming back is going to cut into some of Gordon's work, whether we feel like he looked good or not. It's going to happen there.
That should help the young quarterback. I think they're just going to try to run the ball all day against it.
I would see that. The only thing is that it is a young quarterback. The Jets defense, I can see it being opportunistic and maybe putting a little pressure on him to force him, stack in the box, force him to beat him with his arm. I'm not sure if he'll be able to do it. Prove me wrong, but I'm going to go with the Jets here. This is probably the only time I'll ever pick Adam Gase ever. But that's if the Jets can't win this one, I can see them going winless this whole year.
Facts. Cool. Let's jump into this next matchup.
The next one is Indianapolis, Chicago. This should be a really good matchup. A 2-1 Indianapolis going up against a 3-0 Chicago. What's the line?
So right now they have the over-under at 43.5, and they got the Colts favored by 2.5.
Mm. I mean, Indianapolis, what is there to say? The number one defense in the league. And when I was looking at the stats, I kept looking at first in passing, first in points a game, first in total yards. I mean, you know, you expect to see the Ravens there, and they're there. But the fact that Indianapolis has that and that offensive line, and that run game, and a quarterback that can manage it. It's a good combo, and you can see why they're winning.
No, absolutely. I think people don't understand that as the Bears are undefeated. They are 3-0 for the record, and they just got better. It's rare that you see an undefeated team benching their quarterback, but Mitchell Trubisky, let's all be honest, he was holding his team back.
Yeah.
You knew this once Nick Foles signed that it was inevitable that he would become the starting quarterback eventually.
He was looming.
Yeah, and I think they are better because he is the starting quarterback. He has a whole week to prepare. I don't think they'll still be able to compete with the Colts. I mean, with the Colts, because I feel like the Colts defense is just so strong. But they're going to give him a fighting chance. Both of these teams are really good against quarterbacks. They are 1-2 with least fantasy points allowed to the quarterback position.
Mm.
Talked about the Colts being well off. They're the first against tight ends as well. So for me, we saw Jimmy Graham. He's been getting touchdowns these last couple of weeks, and he's been probably a hot pickup this week. Mm-hmm. For me, I'm tempering expectations for him. They're going to try to shut him down because he is becoming a more well-known name. They got Allen Robinson there, got Anthony Miller there, the running game. It's going to be a fun game, man. It's very close. Vegas has it at 2.5, so they're going to make it competitive. I don't think this is going to be this is a field goal game like they're looking at it.
Yeah, this could be one. Something here, Philip Rivers, the defenses he's played, has he played one as feisty as Chicago's can be? I do see that Philip Rivers is at his old tricks again, and look at this breakdown. Hines leads the team in catches with 13. T.Y. Hilton leads the team in targets with 17. Mo Alley Cox leads the team in receiving yards with 181. Make it make sense.
And look, let's be honest. The Colts have been playing less competition. They played the Jets, a Minnesota team who was hurt, and they lost to Jacksonville.
Yeah. So, and the Jacksonville one is a division game. So you kind of
exactly.
Yeah, you kind of make that a push on that. But you do want to see how let's see that great offensive line go up against this defense and push them and punch them in the mouth. Taylor has been not as efficient as one would think with the work that he's getting. He's getting points in fantasy. But when you look at the NFL, the raw data, 48 carries, which is really good, but 3.79 yards per carry.
Yeah, he hasn't even hit 200 yards rushing yet, has he?
No, 182.
Yeah, and it's all touchdown dependent at this point. What, he's got 3-4 rushing touchdowns? Two rushing touchdowns, okay. So, yeah. Again, he's not taking advantage of the carries. The Colts are playing like every Phillip Rivers ran team. They're trying to kill clock. They're not trying to give the ball to the other team because Phillip Rivers is good for that. Mm-hmm. And he's pretty much managing this game right now. He can make the throws that you need to be made. Man, this is going to be a good game.
And that's why my pick is Chicago, because Nick Foles is the ultimate game manager, right? But in a sense that he's not the game manager that's just going to play it safe. He's going to use his weapons. And I feel like he's going to be efficient. Nick Foles historically has been one that he's not going to throw the ball. He's not going to force the ball anywhere. But he's gonna make sure that his receivers are involved. And he did that last week right away. Granted, they were playing the Falcons, which I could probably step in and get 100 yards receiving.
You can throw 300 yards passing.
I could probably do both in a game. But I'm kidding. I would never pretend to know that. Anyway, I picked the Bears because I feel like this is maybe the chance for Foles to supplant himself as, this is my team. This is the coach's last chance, because once, if Foles doesn't work, this, he can't go back to Trubisky now.
No, yeah, I think it's gonna be a close game.
Yeah,
very competitive. I just feel like the Colts overall defense is better, and I'm just gonna try to go with the better defense. They've been rolling the last couple of weeks. We're gonna see if this Colts defense is for real, if they can abuse teams who actually have good talent.
Yeah.
And we'll find out after Sunday. I'm going to take Indy, though. I'm going to just take the experience at quarterback and coaching. I just think Nagy outcoaches himself sometimes, and he definitely relies on the talent to win him games more than it's actually himself.
I feel like hopefully Foles can serve as that on-the-field coach.
Yeah.
Right? That, like, that they haven't had. That's
why I'm giving them a little bit more respect. If it was Trubisky, this line would have been like 5 and 6. Yeah. They know. They're giving respect to Foles. Foles is a really good quarterback.
Yeah. We split on that one, right?
Yep.
All right, let's go to the next one. The next one is New Orleans Saints, the 1-2 New Orleans Saints going up against the Detroit Lions, 1-2, who are just coming off a surprising, I would say, upset victory against the Cardinals. What's the line here?
So right now they have it at over under a 54.
Mm.
A lot of points. Not shocking.
Give me the over all day.
Facts. And they got the Saints favored by 4.5. But, man, every time I watch the Saints, and you know, you can probably finish my words for me.
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees is sad to see, man. It's very sad to see. But the man is washed up. He can't throw the ball deep. And if it wasn't for Kamara, this team would be 0-3 probably.
Yeah. Last time, I believe these teams played last year. And the game, or it was probably 2 years ago. So the game was 52-38, high-scoring game. So that's why I reference it. It's still the same two quarterbacks, so there's familiarity there. Not much has probably changed in the schemes. This is going to be a high-scoring affair. I expect the same thing that we've seen from Breeze. a lot of Kamara, a lot of dinking and dunking. But he does get Michael Thomas back. So does he get the slant back, right?
Yeah, and that'll take looks away from Kamara. So
Kamara
owners, I know he's been cooking for you the last couple
of weeks. But it's time to maybe a little bit, right?
He'll still be good. He'll get his touchdowns. I think Kamara is very touchdown dependent so far this year. But he'll still get looks. I think they're going to get Michael Thomas involved ASAP.
Surprisingly, I will have to say that Kamara leads the team in receiving yards and in rushing yards. Not surprisingly, really, but he leads in both.
And yeah, New Orleans Kamaras.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So you're happy to see Michael Thomas is back practicing, because now Tre'Quan Smith is even more valuable as someone else on the field, right? So I think it lengthens that team. And Cook, if he's healthy, or the backup tight end, if they're going to play, it makes someone like Michael Thomas is a game changer, a scheme changer.
Yeah.
Right.
So this week, when it comes to fantasy, streaming wise, and I'm doing it in one league, Matthew Stafford is in a prime spot versus Saints with a high over under, an underdog going against, getting his number one receiver back. They're playing the Saints, who allow the fourth most fantasy points to the quarterback position at 28. He's just in a prime spot, man. I can see it going back and forth. And on the other side, Kamara playing the Lions, who give up the fifth most points to fantasy running backs. Mm-hmm. He's going to do his thing. You just hope that he doesn't abuse like he's been abusing. He's been on fire this last week. And the Lions have been giving up a lot of points to the running back. So,
yeah.
It'll be a good match.
I'm going to also say that in Detroit, you got to keep your eye on Galladay. It doesn't matter if he's playing Lattimore, because Matthew Stafford will get it to him. You know that he loves his number one receiver. If you look at his targets from that one game that he played, 7 targets in that game, and you love that, and he scored a touchdown.
First game back.
In 3 games with Jones, Marvin Jones, 11 catches and 17 targets. And TJ Hockenson, which is the next person, 16 targets and 13 catches. So Galladay would have easily bypassed all of them if you really prorate throughout the 3 games. So it just goes to show you that Stafford is going to throw it to him. And this was his first game back, so it might have been on a pitch count.
Yeah. Besides Galladay, I really like Hockenson a lot, too, in this matchup.
I like him, too.
The Saints, who give up the most points to the fantasy tight end in the last 3 weeks. Green Bay, I don't know if both tight ends might have scored. Las Vegas, you saw what Darren Waller did to them. And Tampa Bay, what's-his-face scored? I can't think of his name.
Rojo?
OJ Howard had a touchdown.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry.
They're very suspect to the tight end. Maybe they just say, hey, let your tight end beat us. And Hockenson is an athlete.
Yeah.
He's not a tight end.
Yeah, and that's – I mean, AP, he's the Lion King. The offensive coordinator has said that the offense is basically going to go and feed him as the main back. So 43 carries, 209 yards, and 4.8 yards per carry for AP. That is amazing. He's not going anywhere. Nonetheless, my pick here is New Orleans. I just feel like New Orleans and Breeze, they just find a way to win games like this. And Patricia versus Peyton, I'm going to go on the Peyton side.
Yeah, with all that, I'm agree. With all that being said, I'm taking the Saints. The only way the Saints lose this game is if Breeze arms fall off and he's throwing picks left and right. Detroit's defense a little underrated, but I just see this being a shootout with New Orleans pulling out at the end of the game.
Yeah, yeah. It's close to falling off, though. It's close to falling off. The next one, the next one is Arizona. The 2-1 Arizona coming off a loss to Detroit, going up against 1-2 Carolina, who just surprisingly got their first win of the season. What's the line here?
So right now they have it at over under 51, and the Cardinals are favored by 3.5.
Okay. Let's look at what happened with Arizona last week. Do you think that maybe they underestimated Detroit?
That, and remember how we always talk about Kyler Murray? He plays too chill sometimes.
Yeah.
I think he acts like he's untouchable and all of this stuff. And, I mean, you want your quarterback to think and play absolutely like that, but sometimes it's too much braggadocious, too much nonchalantness. Like, and he makes careless mistakes. He thinks he can make every single throw in the game. And, look, he threw 3 interceptions last game. That's one of the main reasons they lost.
Yeah.
He throws 1 pick, and they're winning by a touchdown, most likely. Those hurt them, and they lost the game because of that. I know for a fact – they're looking at the film, and the coaches are like, you know what? We have to pull the reins back. He is a second-year quarterback. We have to trust our running game a little bit more. And you can touch on this, but we know they're in a prime spot to abuse this Carolina team.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the yards allowed by the total of the Carolina team on defense, it's startling why anyone would even try to pass it on them. And I feel like Arizona is in a prime spot because you do see Drake getting work and getting that workload, and Edmonds coming in on the passing game. But I feel like this is a Drake game This is Drake week. If you have Drake, and maybe in fantasy you have a 2-1 record or a 1-2 record, this is why you drafted Drake where you drafted him, right here.
For him to carry you. Just to prove your point, the Panthers are giving up the second most fantasy points to running backs with 32 a game. Man, Drake is going to eat. Just look what the last couple of running backs have done against Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Eckler. I'm trying to remember who they last played before that.
Eckler.
Hold on. I got it pulled up right here. Give me 1 second. They got Eckler. with Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones both scoring touchdowns, and then your boy Josh Jacobs, 3 touchdowns week one.
Yeah, that's so right.
They're abusing this running game. And this one of the main reasons I'll touch later on why I feel like Kyler Murray is a good play, but not a great play this week. I'm tempering expectations. Some guy that I'm a little like a little less this week, solely because the Panthers give up, surprisingly, the third least amount of fantasy points to the quarterback position. Because, again, like I said last week when I was talking about Herbert, these quarterbacks don't need to be used as much because you can abuse them in the run game.
Yeah, I actually looked back, and they played last year. Carolina won this 38-20. But something to note here is that Kyler Murray was sacked 8 times last year and had 2 interceptions. This is much different defense. You lose Mario Addison. You lose a few other pieces.
Keekly.
Keekly obviously is the biggest piece on the defense.
Bradbury. They lost. This is a whole new defense.
Yeah, it's a whole new defense. It's young. It's talented, but young. So I expect that to flip around. I don't expect Kyler to make those same mistakes. And hopefully it last week probably lit a fire under him, which could be a good thing. Hand it off to Edmonds. I mean, Drake or Edmonds, that's not a bad thing. And just a tidbit here on if you can pass on Carolina. In total yards, they're one of the tops. And in passing yards per game, the average is 258.3. So if Arizona wanted to, Isabella, Hopkins, who you already know is going to eat, they could. I just want to give you something on the Carolina side. I feel like there's wide receivers there that we're neglecting because we love talking about the running back and how they use them there in Carolina. DJ Moore has 26 targets on that team, but he only has 14 catches. 239 yards, you like that, so 17 yards a catch. What I will say about the 26 targets versus the 14 catches is that either Bridgewater is being totally inaccurate, or you expect DJ Moore to be the receiver that you drafted him to be.
Yeah. I mean, before you even went on there, I was going to say that DJ Moore is, again, another receiver that I'm lessening my expectations because they are playing Carolina, who give up the second least amount of fantasy points to the wide receiver position.
Arizona.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What did I say? Carolina? Mm-hmm. Carolina is playing against Arizona, who gives up. Arizona gives up the second least. Sorry.
Yeah, I saw that. I did see that stat. You're right.
Yeah, and again, this is not to say you don't start DJ Moore. It's going to be a shootout. They're going to throw the ball a million times.
Yeah, it's the garbage.
Yeah, in garbage point. But I'm just saying on the surface, it's not a smart play. Patrick Peterson guarding DJ Moore. Mm-hmm. I can see Arizona maybe getting a pick six or getting a defensive touchdown set up because Bridgewater is trying to make a play he couldn't really make. And like you said, play defense and just hand the ball off to Drake and you can win this game easily. -3 is very low. I think it should be higher than that. I'm taking Arizona and I'm not even looking back. I'm not picking.
And you look at Robbie Anderson. You look at Robbie Anderson with 20 catches on 24 targets. Robbie Anderson is normally a deep threat. So you maybe also see that evening out too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But we both have Arizona here. There's no surprise there. Surprise us, Carolina. Are you ready to move on?
Last to week, but I don't think it'll happen twice.
Shame on us if it happens. So the next one is Jacksonville Jaguars going up against the Cincinnati Bengals. What's the line here?
So it's at 49.5 right now, and they got the Bengals favored by 3.
Okay. So the Jacksonville's 1-2, Cincinnati's 0-2-1 coming off a tie, a nice hard fought game against the Eagles. So you would say the Eagles underperformed or that Cincinnati overachieved in that game. And then Jacksonville coming off of that loss on Thursday night, right? That was the Miami, the battle of Minshew versus Fitz. And Minshew didn't show up. Obviously DJ Chark didn't play in this game. So what are you looking at on the Cincinnati side?
When is Joe Mixon going to score a touchdown?
Yeah.
I think that's what a lot of fantasy experts, a lot of fantasy owners are asking right now because he hasn't done much this week, this year. They are playing Jacksonville, who does give up the 4th most fantasy points to running backs. So, oh, no, I'm sorry. It's on the other side.
Yeah.
whoa. I'm all over the place right now.
No, I know we're excited to talk about James Robinson, but
what I wanted to say was Joe Burrow is probably one of my favorite players this week. I have to face him in a fantasy week, so I'm not excited. Ooh. He is playing Jacksonville, who does give up fifth most fantasy points to quarterback. He does throw the ball a ton, and this is probably why Joe Mixon isn't getting the work that people expect it to, because he's playing hero ball right now. He's trying to show to the world that he is a great quarterback, and he is, but I think he's trying to do too much.
Yeah. One thing, if you look at the numbers that pop out for Burrow specifically, is that 14 sacks. You don't want your quarterback to take that punishment, because essentially it'll give him happy feet, and it'll have him constantly worrying about the pressure rather than his progressions. But 89 quarterback rating, despite all that, you like seeing the numbers that he's showing, 64% completion percentage, 821 yards. You love that from Burrow. So I can see this being a game where he can put up numbers, because look at what Fitz did against Jacksonville, right? Mixon, you don't love the numbers. You see he's getting the touches. He has 52 carries, but 3.15 yards per carry and no rushing touchdowns. That's not good at all. Boyd has stood out, 26 targets, 21 catches, 230 yards, but his yards per catch is 10.95, so he's more of a safety blanket. Before we get off of Cincy, T. Higgins and Mike Thomas, those are two names that I see trending. Joe Burrow, I don't know if he has the chemistry with A.J. Green. I just don't see it with those guys. I'm not sure if it's just me, right? But I feel like he's trying to get him the ball, but A.J. Green is just not producing, and maybe A.J. Green is on his way out. So keep your eye out for Higgins and Mike Thomas, because those guys are getting targets, and especially T. Higgins, 15 targets. Over on the Jacksonville side, I know you want to talk about Jacksonville.
Before we even get to Jacksonville, one thing – oh, no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, let's get to Jacksonville. I'm ready to talk.
So before you even jump in, and obviously we're going to touch on James Robinson, but another guy that I'm kind of lower on this week is DJ Chark. The Bengals are giving up the third least amount of fantasy points to the wide receiver position. If anything, they can guard the receiver. They can't guard running backs to save their lives. We know that for a fact. And no, we'll jump into that.
Yeah, the Bengals are the sixth best pass defense and the 31st in rush. So
that's why I'm speaking off of
which. Speaking of which, if you have James Robinson, you love this matchup just as much as you love the one from last week. 43 carries, 200 plus yards, and three touchdowns on the year, right? I believe those are his numbers. And Gardner Minshew, who had a terrible game last week, you hope that he bounces back. But he's only – I feel like that offense is so much better for Minshew and for the running game if DJ Chark is out there. Even if it's not to get him the ball, but at least to have him in there so that people scheme a player like him. They did play in 2019, and Jacksonville won this matchup 29-17. Guess who was the offensive player of the game for Jacksonville?
Leonard Fournette.
29 carries, 131 yards. So you can expect James Robinson to kind of be in that sweet spot. He's touches wise and yards wise. He's
doing this all week, Zeke Eaton. Yeah. So just to touch on James Robinson real quick, we got Jacksonville playing against the Bengals, who are the fourth worst against fantasy running backs, giving up 26.83. Mm-hmm. And James Robinson so far this year has accounted for 64% of the rush attempts, while also seeing 10% of the team's targets, and playing a Bengals team who was allowed 545 rushing yards this season and 5 yards per attempt. So I can see him getting to these numbers very easily. I'm going over 100 total yards and a touchdown. The only way, and the reason why I'm picking in Jacksonville, the only way I can see them winning this game is if they just continue to hand the ball off to James Robinson. He's like a bowling ball. All he does is get yards. He reminds me of Chris Carson, but bigger, because he just falls forward. He's hard to tackle. And we know the Bengals can't tackle anybody. We saw what the Browns did to them. If two Browns running backs can go for – what they did, I can only imagine with James Robinson. And what's-his-face might be a sneaky play here, Thompson.
Yeah. For those reasons is why I'm going to go with Cincy, because I feel like Jacksonville can run, and they've shown they can run. I don't know if they can keep up with Cincinnati on offense. Yeah.
I just hope that Burrow doesn't make any mistakes.
And, with Mixon, Jacksonville's middle of the pack when it comes to rankings for their defense. Maybe Mixon can turn it around here. He has to show me, right? But I got Cincy because I feel like I don't know if Jacksonville, especially with what Minshew showed last week, not that I'm off of him, but I just don't know if this team can go with Cincinnati the way Cincinnati battled Philadelphia last week.
Yeah.
So we split on that one. Are you ready for the next one?
Yep.
The next one is a doozy. we got the 2-1 Cleveland Browns going to Dallas to play the 1-2 Dallas Cowboys. What's the line for this one?
So we have it at over 56.5, which might be one of the highest of the weeks.
Wow.
And they got the Cowboys favored by 4.5.
I don't quite know about that 56.5 on Cleveland's end, right?
Yeah. Look, this is what we talk about records being misleading. Like, are the Cleveland Browns really a 2-1 team? Or have they played two horrible teams?
Yeah, they've beaten the teams that maybe like Cleveland should be. Dallas, they've gone up against tough opponents. Their playoffs already started, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas is 30. The defense is 30th in points allowed. But is it because the defense is bad, or is it because they faced the Rams and the Seahawks and the Falcons consecutively?
Tough competition,
right? The offense is first in yards per game and passing yards per game. Dak with 1,188 yards, 5 touchdown passes, and 3 rushing touchdowns. Zeke, elite level 58 touches. So I looked at every back in the league, and I already have a gauge of what elite level usage is. So to me, if you're above 45, then you're reaching elite level usage.
Yeah.
Zeke is at 58. That's elite. By the way, James Robinson was at 43. That's almost he's almost there. 219 yards for Zeke, 3.78 yards per carry, 3 touchdowns. You hope to see the yards per carry get a little bit better. Maybe that's what Dallas needs to keep the defense off the field. What else do you see on Dallas?
So, sneaky play for me this week, and I would never recommend this guy, but Baker Mayfield against the Cowboys, who give up the 3rd most fantasy points to quarterbacks. We've seen it week in, week out. They're just a sieve to passing yards. Odell Beckham might be in another prime spot this week. Oof. I could see the Browns, if they have any chance to beat the Dallas Cowboys this week, is they're going to have to keep up like the Falcons were doing. This might be like a Falcons-Cowboys game again, where they're going back and forth. But I just honestly think that the Browns don't have the firepower to keep up with the Cowboys. They got 3 great receivers, a great running back, a good tight end, a great quarterback, and a decent enough defense who can stop Cleveland's best option, which is the run game. And they're going to force Baker to throw. If he doesn't make any mistakes, he might be in for a prime week based off of the matchup alone. But I can't trust Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. For the Dallas receivers, you ask yourself that they're all getting production, 267 yards, 230 yards for Cooper and CeeDee Lamb. You see the target distribution, 35, 23, 21 for Gallup, for Cooper, for CeeDee. Who's scoring the touchdowns? Because out of all of the wide receivers that Dallas has, Gallup and Cedric Wilson are the only two with touchdowns.
Yeah, because they're either running it in with Zeke or Dak Prescott sneaking them.
Exactly. So, yes, you're going to get yards, but as of right now, it hasn't gone the way that you would want it to if you want a touchdown, if you want a receiver that's going to get you a touchdown.
Yeah.
In terms of Cleveland and trying to figure them out, I think that if you have Landry in PPR especially, then I can see Landry getting peppered with those underneath targets all fourth quarter. Because they're going to have to keep up. I don't know. Cleveland is going to try to keep Dallas off the field with Hunt and Chubb. I don't know if it's going to work against Dallas. Dallas just has too much firepower.
Yeah, I agree. They're going to have to abandon the run at one point or another in the game.
And that's not going to work in their favor because Baker, you already know, Baker is more of a liability than he is an asset. So that being said, I'm not going to get too cute. I'm picking Dallas here to get back to 500 and 2-2, and Cleveland to come back down to earth a little bit.
Yep, me too. We can move on to the next one.
Yeah. So speaking of elite level touches, I do want to mention this on Cleveland. Nick Chubb at 51 touches. That's you like seeing that. 292 rushing yards. Kareem Hunt with 39 attempts, 204 rushing yards. So that's borderline elite for him in terms of touches as well. Or rushes. The next game is this is one of those COVID games, right?
Yeah.
So we have Minnesota Vikings that are 0-3 that are going to Houston to face the Texans, who are also 0-3. What's the line here?
Over under is at 54.5, and they got Houston favored by 4.5.
This game is like, if you do this game last year, you're like, oh, these are two playoff teams. Right now, neither looks like it's the case for them. And it's sad to see. But because Minnesota's defense is 30th in yards a game, 30th in passing yards a game, and 31st in points. That's not a recipe for success. I don't care who you have at running back on offense. What do you see here on Minnesota's offense?
They just keep trying to force feed their Dalvin Cook, and he has been productive. It questions at what point are they going to have to give up feeding him so much and actually trying to throw the ball to keep up with some of these teams?
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, he had an amazing game, over 170 rushing yards, and they still lost. So yeah, that's not the answer. In the games that they were a little bit more competitive, they were throwing the ball. This week on the Houston side, we have probably one of the better matchups they've had all year. Vikings giving up third most to the wide receiver. So Fuller looks like in a good spot. And whoever else is healthy over there is Cooks healthy? Is what's his face? Stills healthy?
Yeah, Randall Cobb also.
Maybe David Johnson out the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
The Vikings are a little bit better against the run, so I can see them trying to force the passing game a little bit more. And maybe Deshaun is in for a good game as well.
Yeah, if you look at Houston and the teams that they've played, they're a little more. They've been through what we would call a buzzsaw, right? They started the season with Kansas City, then Baltimore and Pittsburgh. So yeah, when you look at their numbers and you look at their rankings on offense, they're 31st in rushing, which makes sense, right? When you play Pittsburgh and the Ravens, and then in passing, they're 18th. So at least you know that they've played good opponents fairly well. I can't say the same for Minnesota. I'm not sure if I'm maybe speaking off base, but I just feel like you said, Watson prime spot, four receivers over 100 yards receiving, Fuller, Atkins, Cobb and Cook, four receivers over 13 targets, I believe the number was. So Watson, I can see, like you said, David Johnson, I can see Watson. I can see this being the game that Houston gets over hump and gets their first win.
Yeah.
A Kirk Cousins is the one thing that I looked at and I said, wow, this is poor quarterback play. 59% completion percentage, 620 yards, 5 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. That is not going to cut it.
Not yet. I agree. I think the Vikings defensively, we see that the injuries are really affecting them. The secondary is looking like they're being abused every single week. The defensive line is hurt, mm-hmm. and they're allowing almost 30 points every single game over that. And they're getting, I mean, they've had decent matchups. They haven't had the same battles that Houston's had to battle with against those stud teams. But I just feel like Minnesota, they're going to have to. I don't see how they can win this game without Dalvin Cook just going insanely crazy. And it seems like he has been every single week, and they still find a way to
lose. And even,
yeah, not him. He's not the problem.
Exactly. And even in that case, I still have confidence, right, that Deshaun is going to find a way to pull it off because of the 30th in yards a game, 30th in passing yards a game, that you know that they're not going to be able to stop Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I'm going to take the better quarterback. And despite it being led by his coach, who isn't the best, I think Deshaun Watson is the better quarterback, and okay. I'm taking the Texans here.
One last thing. Jefferson, who had a breakout week last week, everybody went to the waiver wire to go get him, and rightfully so. For this week, I'm not sure if you get a performance that you're looking for. Okay, so Thielen has played all year, 12 catches, 170 yards, 3 touchdowns, 21 targets. Jefferson's already at 12 catches, 245 yards, and a touchdown on 15 targets. Now, if you look at his last game, 177 yards, that's most of that. So will he be a stud? Yes. Will he be a stud immediately? Maybe not. Don't expect that. Houston is a third in the league in passing yards allowed per game. So there you have it. We're both picking Houston, and we're going to move on to the next game, right? Mm-hmm. All right. So we got Seattle going up against Miami. The 3-0 Seattle Seahawks going to Fitzmagic, a 1-2 Miami Dolphins. What's the line?
Fitzmagic land. It's over under 52.5, and they got the Seahawks favored by 6.5.
Oh, man. When you look at Seattle, you look at their defense, and they're 32nd in yards. They're actually fairly good against the rush, but then 32nd in passing offense against. So it's not looking pretty there. But if you look on the offensive side and the things that Russ is doing, he's cooking. 925 yards passing. 14 touchdowns passing and 139.1 quarterback rating. He's the MVP right now, right?
And definitely in line for it. I mean, they've been in these shootouts with these teams, so maybe that's one of the reasons.
Yeah.
And look, it goes to show you the Seahawks defense is really bad right now. The only thing they can do is stop the run, and they do have great linebackers. They do have a good defensive line, so that's maybe the reason. Mm-hmm. They only give up fifth most – they allow the fifth least amount of fantasy points to running backs. So Myles Gaskin's owners, Myles Gaskin got so many targets last week against the Jaguars because they were winning the whole game.
Yeah, exactly.
Not because, I mean, he's a decent player, but let's be honest. Yeah. He's not somebody you can rely on every single week. He's not in a prime matchup. They're underdogs. They're not going to be running the ball. Only way I can see it is if he's getting receiving work out the backfield. I do love that Fitzpatrick and Devontae Parker stack this week. You just start your passers and you start your receivers against the Seahawks because, again, they're always in shootouts. Teams always have to come back against them, and they just can't defend the pass. They are second worst against quarterbacks, and they are the worst against wide receivers in fantasy football. I'm telling you right now, if you have Devontae Parker, he is on your bench this week. You are making a mistake.
Yeah.
You have to start him.
Yeah. Carson going down for Seattle. Who is the running back? Is it Hyde? You know, we at the show like Homer, Travis Homer.
Homer.
Yeah. Every time he's on the field, he just makes plays. He looks explosive. He looks comfortable. Very so I think they like him there too. So let's see what the distribution is of work is and how long Carson's going
to
be out.
Yeah, and they're saying Carson still has a chance to play. They haven't officially ruled him out, so we'll see. I think it's a mistake if they do rush him back, especially against Miami. I don't think you need Carson to beat Miami. Mm-hmm. I would rest him, but not because I play against them either. I'm not saying.
I'm going to give you numbers, and I want you to guess which receiver it is on Seattle, okay? 24 catches, 259 yards. And on 29 targets on 4 touchdowns.
4 touchdowns?
Mm-hmm.
How many yards?
259 yards. I can give you the other receiver stats, not the name.
Give me the other one without the name.
The other one is 12 catches for 297 yards, 3 touchdowns on 22 targets.
So the first one's Lockett. And then the second one's Thing. Only because I know Lockett scored 3 touchdowns last week. And damn, he has 200 and something. I thought Thing would have more yards because he's catching bombs. But
yeah, so wow. So the safety blanket I've identified is Tyler Lockett, and the deep threat is DK Metcalf. And if you look at the two players, you would think it's the opposite.
Yeah, but we've always said that Tyler Lockett is everything receiver.
It's beautiful to watch him.
He's a deep threat. He's the red zone threat. He's the third down threat. He's everything threat. Like, he's getting the ball because Russell Wilson trusts him.
they are so in sync. And watch when DK gets into that chemistry bubble. He's almost there. He's still making those young mistakes. Special.
He's one of the best throwers in the NFL.
on Miami's side, the defense looked better last week against Jacksonville. They beat Jacksonville convincingly. Fitzpatrick, 71% completion percentage, so you like seeing that. He's keeping the interceptions relatively down. Miles Gaskin, 38 rushes, which is really good to see. 4.1 yards a carry, and then 15 catches. Can you believe that? Mm-hmm. 15 catches. So he's getting a lot of touches, to your point. Parker and Gesicki are two names that I feel like are prime in this matchup. Based on the number of targets, they're both first and second on the team in that department. And I do feel like Fitzpatrick, once he locks on and he has guys that he likes, he is going to pepper them with targets. And this is one of those games that there's going to be so much garbage points to be had.
400-yard game potential.
You're going to be happy that Ryan told you to go and start Parker. And you're going to be happy that I told you that, hey, Gesicki might be a consideration here.
Facts.
So, but on that, that being said, we both pick Seattle. Moving on, we have the Los Angeles Chargers going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Chargers are 1-2. Tampa Bay is coming off a win. They're 2-1. What's the line?
So right now they have it at over under 43.5, and they got the Bucs favored by 7.5. Man, they're losing hope for the Chargers.
The Chargers defense, when you look at them, you're like, wow, they're under 10 or within top 10 in at every category.
Yeah, they're and just to back that, the Chargers are giving up the least amount of fantasy points to running backs. They are where'd I go?
They're 11th against the run here.
Yeah, 11th against the run. And I just feel like the way they control the clock is amazing. They keep you off the field, and that hurts fantasy production.
Yeah, I mean, when Eckler has 47 carries and Kelly has 43 carries, then that's a lot of clock that's just running.
Yeah.
So that being said, they're fourth in points allowed because of that very strategy. They just keep it away. Their offense, surprisingly, and I'm going to ask you, what category did you put their total yards at? In the top, from 1 to 32, which Chargers? Where do the Chargers?
I would say middle of the pack, probably like 12, 11.
They're sixth.
Six? Wow. Yeah.
Can you believe that?
I mean, Herbert has helped. He has thrown the ball a lot the last couple of games.
I'm glad you mentioned them, because in the game, two games that Herbert has played and then the game that Tyrod has played, has been a stark difference. Tyrod with a 70 quarterback rating, which is kind of what you expect from him, right? Herbert with a 90 quarterback rating, very respectable. 641 yards in two games, which you'd like to see. Again, maybe the turnover. There's some plays that you would like him to be a little cleaner on, but he's still young. I think he went to do a play action and he went the complete wrong way. I believe they said that Tyrod is going to start. That's not good news for Hunter Henry, who, if you look at the stats receiving wise, 16 catches, 206 yards on 23 targets.
Yeah.
Second only to obviously, you know, Keenan Allen. That's an obvious.
Yeah. Whoever the Chargers start this week at quarterback is worrying me, because the Bucs are just not giving up points to them. They're They're giving up the fourth least amount to the quarterback at 15.95. I mean, Herbert gives him a better chance to put up more points, but do you want to put up more points or do you want to win? Yeah. And I think the coach for the Chargers wants to win. So he's going to start Tyrod Taylor, because they are undefeated technically with him, whatever that means.
Yeah.
They're going to try to control the clock, keep Tom Brady off the ball, and just hand it off to Kelly and Eckler all game, because that's what he likes to do. He's a former running back, and that's what he believes in.
Yeah.
But I think the Bucs just have too much firepower, and their defense is a little bit better than some people think.
Yeah. If it was Herbert, passing yards allowed a game for Tampa Bay, maybe they don't allow the touchdowns, but 14th. So that's more middle of the pack compared to the rest of their defense. That third in rushing yards allowed, fourth in total yards allowed, and seventh in points. So passing, maybe, you know, that's where I felt like maybe a Hunter Henry would have eaten, but I'm not as optimistic with Tyrod in there.
Yeah. And we try to warn people about Leonard Fournette. Again, yeah. He's not in a good spot this week. Do not start him unless you're desperate.
No, but he looks like he could be out this week.
Yeah, I saw that he was questionable or doubtful to play. And I mean, if Ronald Jones is in, I guess just solely based on touches, he's worth starting. But the Chargers, again, we talked about it. Clock management, these guys don't get on the field. And just because of that, they're giving up the least amount of points to fantasy running back. So maybe that's something to look at. And if you do have a better option, maybe you do look there. But if you don't, then Jones wouldn't be the worst start.
Yeah, what you hope here is that Tampa Bay has gotten into a group and they take a lead and they take the Chargers off of that run mode.
Yeah, and they force them to pass, yeah.
Yeah, that's what. And then based on that, maybe it gets to where the offense is on the field so much, maybe the starting running back gets a touchdown like Arojo or whoever. But
yeah,
in terms of Godwin, who's going to replace Godwin? Because you know that he's been hurt pretty much all year, right? Scotty Miller is leading the team in receiving yards, if you can believe that. they do have wins. They're coming off of wins against Denver and Carolina, and they both were convincing. So I do feel like this is another test that they feel like they're going to have to come. And Tampa Bay is still figuring out a way to click. Gronk, they said they weren't going to use him last week. They used him. I think they're trolling. I think Gronk is only getting more and more comfortable in that offense. Believe it or not, he might actually be helpful here with no Godwin.
Yeah. I'm taking the Bucks, and I'm
taking the Bucks. Yeah, we're taking the Bucks. We do like the Chargers as a team. I'm not going to speak for you, but I feel like we do like what the pieces they have. I just don't know if they'll win a battle like this year.
Yeah.
The next game is another COVID game, right?
And it might be played on Monday or Tuesday. So as of right now, it was scheduled for 1 o'clock on Sunday. That's being pushed back now. But we're expecting them to still play. So we are going to still pick it and talk about it.
Yeah. So we have the 3-0 Pittsburgh Steelers going to Tennessee to face the 3-0 Tennessee Titans. What's the line?
Of the unbeatens. We got it at 47.5 over under. And they got the Steelers favored by 2.5.
Yeah. When I want to look at Tennessee first, specifically because when I looked at the defense, it was surprising. They got Clowney, right? Jadeveon Clowney.
Mm-hmm.
They signed him. When I looked at their defense, 29 in total in yards allowed, 29 in rushing defense, 23rd in passing, and 14th in scoring defense. So 14th looks decent, like they're middle of the pack. But when it comes to the yards they're giving up, it's concerning.
Yeah.
Because the teams that they've faced haven't been exactly playoff caliber.
Yeah, I agree. Right? I mean, losing cornerbacks and a couple injuries here and there will really quickly change that.
Yeah.
The Steelers are just such a tough opponent. I have Derrick Henry in the fantasy league, and I'm tempering expectations for him this week. They've just been so stout.
Yeah, sheer volume, right? Yeah. I mean, I want to remember when I said elite was like 45 to like 50, 55?
Yeah.
Henry is literally, and I've looked at every backfield in the league. He's literally on a level like, I literally wrote this down. It says godly.
Yeah,
he has 82 attempts this year.
It's unreal. 82, he's looking at average over on pace for like 450 carries this year, which is insane. I know that's gonna come down back to earth. He might finish with 400 and won't be crazy.
Yeah, I feel like going up against Pittsburgh, who allows 54 rushing yards per game, 54.
You're happy with that. Derrick Henry gets you 54 yards in the end zone. You're not complaining this week. Yeah, I'll take it. Because like we said, the Steelers give up the second most fantasy points to running backs at 11, almost 12 a game. So that's pretty much 60 yards and a touchdown. And you're not mad at that.
Yeah, and you take that. And again,
I'll take that and run.
Now, Henry scored a touchdown, two touchdowns last week. Totally see Henry maybe, because normally he's one of those streaky scorers.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He does them in bunches. And I feel like this could be one of them where, because I don't see where the scoring is going to come. Believe it or not, I was surprised here. Jonnu Smith leads the team in targets, right? 20. You expect that, right? He's tied with Humphreys for 20.
Yeah. Who's third?
Third was Davis.
And Derrick Henry is on pace to get over 40-plus targets, which is last year he had like 17 catches.
You like to see that.
I think he's going to shatter that this year as he gets more comfortable in the passing game.
Yeah, maybe some screens because, you know, that pass rush is super aggressive over there. Tannehill, this is going to be a nice test for him because Tannehill has looked good this year. So hopefully it doesn't revert back to, you know, a version we all in the back of our minds remember. Remember pick six Tannehill? We knew that he would throw a pick six at some point. We haven't seen that in quite some time. Hopefully he doesn't revert back to that in this game. On the Pittsburgh side, we have Connor, who's back to his, you know, running back one ways. I know that you loved him before the year started. We loved him here. Deontay Johnson with a concussion. Five people. Ben is back to his old tricks. Five people with more than 10 targets on Pittsburgh.
Yeah. He's been steady Eddie this whole year. Hasn't been the best, but he hasn't been the worst. And that's exactly what you get when you draft a player like Big Ben. You would hope that I think in a game like this against Tennessee, they're just going to keep punching each other in the mouth. Just run. I could see this game getting over fast and it being very low score. I could see like 20 something, 3-point victory. Steelers maybe pull out at the end. If Big Ben comes out and they're turning the ball over, or James Conner turns the ball over, Tennessee can probably steal this one, but I trust that the Steelers defense is that good. Yeah. And they are.
I just feel like Big Ben is picked up where he left off, right?
Yeah.
The one thing is that are you going to get away Ben, which is a much different version than the version that he plays at home, regardless of if there's fans in the stands. Which version of Ben are we going to get? Because he's been solid and limiting the turnovers. I have Pittsburgh. I feel like it could be a close game. And it looks like, you know, even Vegas has it as a close game. That's where it's dangerous because Tennessee, you know, they stick around these games and they figure out a way to win them. That's how they got to the playoffs and that's how they got so deep last year in the playoffs. Yeah. But I still think that Ben being back, Ben will win this. If you're going to ask me, Big Ben or Tannehill, Tomlin and Vrabel, who I think highly of, I'm still going to stick with Pittsburgh on this.
Yeah, me too. I'm not going to get cute. I'm taking the Steelers overall.
Yeah, Chase Claypool, by the way. I'm not going to say anything else other than Chase Claypool.
Juju's gone.
The next game we have is the 2-1 Baltimore Ravens, who just got pretty much embarrassed on Monday night, going up against the 1-2 Washington football team. What's the line here?
So right now they have it at over under 45.5, and they have the Ravens favored by 13.5.
On the Ravens, we have Lamar, who's probably coming off the worst game of his career, including his rookie year, right?
Yeah.
We saw what the running backs look like. It looks like Edwards is getting more involved. I feel like Ingram is starting to become the odd man out.
Yeah, I think, and I feel like he's comfortable with that.
Yeah, I don't feel like he's a selfish guy because I feel like his role, he still has it.
Yeah.
I just feel like they've lessened it.
Yeah, I think they're trying to keep him fresh for whatever reason. And maybe they're just riding out of hand. Gus Edwards is killing the game as far as yards per carry. I don't know what that exact number is, but I know it's pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
As far as matchups goes this week, I feel like the Ravens were humiliated on national TV, and they're going to come out and try to humiliate the Washington football team, who this week might be without their number one pick this year. He's battling an injury. He had a strain.
Yeah, growing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bounce back game, man. Mark Andrews, the Washington football team is playing. They give up the fifth most to the fantasy tight end. So if Mark Andrews, if you ever want to have a game, not because I have him on, you have him on my team, but this might be a week where he bounces back and shows people that he's not trash.
Yeah, and in deep leagues, Boyle.
Yeah.
Hard throw. Boyle could be a chance. To answer your question, Gus Edwards, 18 carries, 129 yards, 7 yards a carry, and that is by far. Dobbins is actually better in yards per carry. But he has 8 less carries and 50 less yards. Yeah. So slowly Gus the Bus is moving up. The RB1 there is Lamar, 32 carries, 182 yards. So he's actually close to like superstar level touches when it comes to a running back. I'm not going to lie. When I look at Hollywood Brown's numbers, they look decent on paper, but I just feel like there are so many points left on the field. Whether it's Lamar overthrowing a ball or maybe it being off of Hollywood Brown's hands, I wish that, because nothing stands out other than, you know, 18 targets for Hollywood and 17 for Andrews, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, so you dread seeing the Ravens behind again, because it just, that passing game just did not look good.
Yeah. With Washington, I've been saying it all year as a fan, QB change is coming. I don't know if this is the week, but it's coming. Dwayne Haskins is not a competent quarterback. If you haven't seen it through 3 weeks, I don't know what else you need to see. We got to get Allen in there. We got to see what he's capable of. Make McLaurin more of a threat. Actually be able to throw the deep ball. They're not going to be able to run the ball against the Ravens this week. They're giving up fourth least amount of fantasy points to their running back. We saw what they did with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He looked all right, but for the most part, he was getting stuffed all game.
Yeah.
They were winning the majority of that game, so the Heat got fed with touches, but they are really good against the run.
It's ridiculous over there in Baltimore. So with the Washington football team, I just don't understand. I like what your coach did, actually. The other day, your coach came out, Ron Rivera said, at some point, you're no longer a rookie. Right? At some point, you're already past that line of demarcation, whatever it is, that, you know, you're no longer considered a rookie. You're getting reps. You're starting. So, like you said, be on the lookout for Kyle Allen, because he did bring him from the Carolina. Gibson, will they work him in more? That's the question of the year, because they're still getting McKissick a lot of carries. It doesn't make any sense. Terry McLaurin doing what he does, 25 targets, 269 yards and 16 catches. Logan Thomas, number two on the team with 24 targets, but 12 catches for 94 yards. That is atrocious. If you have Logan Thomas, you hope that he gets you a touchdown, but that is, unless the quarterback changes, Logan Thomas, I wouldn't even put him in my lineup. Yeah. Anything else in this game, man? Before we,
Ravens. I don't want to spend more time on this.
Yeah. Let's go to the next matchup. The next matchup is another one that's a doozy. We have the 0-3 New York Giants going up against the 2-1 LA Rams, who just came off a loss to the Buffalo Bills. A very tight game. What's the line here?
Have over under at 48.5, and they got the Rams favored by 12.5. The second largest of the week.
Wow. So
I don't have nothing to say about the Giants.
I actually do, and I wrote it down because I wanted to share how it was startling to see. The Rams first, their defense is middling. It's mostly in the middle. Having a game against the Bills, will do that to you. But if you look at the first game against the Cowboys, they held that Cowboys offense to 17 points. So which Rams defense is it? On the offense, they're looking good. Third in total yards, third in rushing, seventh in passing, seventh in points. You like seeing that from that offense. Man, you feel bad for the Giants, because you know there's no way they're going to keep up. I have a startling stat for you. The leading rusher on the team for the Giants is Daniel Jones, and he has 90, I believe, 4 yards rushing.
Shame.
So there's nothing really promising on the Giants. Daniel Jones, you know, Danny Dimes, you feel like that? I feel like that offensive line is one of the worst in the league, and it starts and stops there. Unless you get some help there, it doesn't matter, because even Saquon looked terrible behind that line.
I agree.
Right? One thing on the L.A. side, I wanted to say, Henderson is beasting. His stock is up. 35 carries, 201 yards, 5.7 yards per carry, and he did it against Buffalo, so you can't say he hasn't done it against a good defense. Cooper Kupp slowly worked his way up to being the number one receiver. 18 catches, 228 yards, and a touchdown. Leads the team in targets with 24. I feel like Woods and him will be back and forth all year on that. Anything else with this game?
Nah, man. I can see all these guys. I expect Henderson to eat with such a high spread. They're just going to keep feeding him. He might have a 2-touchdown game. Maybe not have to pass the ball as much. So maybe Kupp and Woods, they'll get their yards early because they won't need to do nothing in the second half. They should easily beat the Giants this week.
Yeah. Steve Slayton, 12 catches, 188 yards, 2 touchdowns, 22 targets. That's like probably the only bright spot I see on that team. and it's not to disrespect Giants fans. I feel like you have some pieces, but without an offensive line, none of that matters. So the next game is the New England Patriots, and this should be a really good matchup. The New England Patriots going to Kansas City to face the 3-0 Kansas City Chiefs. The Patriots are 2-1. The Chiefs are coming off of a very convincing win against the Ravens. What's the line here?
So they have it at over under 52.5, and they have the Chiefs favored by 7.
Well, do you like that?
I do. I mean,
it didn't sound convincing when you said it. That's why.
No, only because the question I asked myself is, how is New England going to keep up? How? Their best strength is running the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City was very impressive defensively last week. I don't know what it was. Maybe they had Lamar's playbook or something. I don't know. But they're playing another running quarterback. The only way they can really attack Kansas City is on the ground. So unless Cam is getting 4 rushing touchdowns, which he's probably capable of, I just feel like Mahomes just keep beating you up. There's too many options. There's too many people to defend. We'll know Bill Belichick's probably going to try to take away Kelce or one of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't take away everybody. And that's always a problem when you play Kansas City.
They played last year, a KC 123-16, much different offense, I would say, for New England. This is more of a run offense.
Yeah.
Kansas City's run behavior defensive-wise last week was more of an anomaly because if you look at in terms of rank, they're 27th in the league in rush yards allowed per game.
Yeah.
So 4th in passing, so you expect them to be maybe a little bit better against the pass. The Patriots, they have a middle-of-the-pack defense for the most part. I feel like they are beatable on the deep pass, and that's what Kansas City excels. So Mecole Hardman, Tyreek Hill,
Sammy Watkins,
you're up, right? Like, you're up.
Every receiver they have.
Yeah, they're going to be testing because, like you said, I think they're going to occupy the underneath. They're going to take away Kelce. They're going to take away those dump-offs to Edwards-Helaire. I do want to mention a strategy that I saw against Las Vegas that I've never seen in my life, and I think I've seen a lot of people that study film are talking about it. Bill Belichick apparently devised a plan against Derek Carr because he knew that Derek Carr likes going through his progressions and then going immediately to the check down. Bill Belichick devised a scheme to where the check down was being double covered.
Mm.
I swear to you, I've never seen that, where the running back coming out of the backfield and doing whatever that play and then bracketing him immediately. And it was just a beautiful thing to behold and watch that defense play so disciplined and just like trusting the next man and being in the right spot. It was really nice to see. And that's why Carr had trouble with his checkdowns. That being said, I feel like that's why you can never count out New England, because I feel like they can make a Patrick Mahomes think a little bit and struggle a little bit. Not that he can't do it. On the Cam front, I do feel like N'Keal Harry and Edelman are still neck and neck, tied in catches, tied in targets. I think they're going to do that all year with the even split. So they asked the same question about New England when they played the Seahawks, and they kept up to the last play of the game. I'm going to take Kansas City here.
Yeah, me as well.
I would caution an expectation that this would be a blowout.
You think it's going to be a blowout?
I don't think it's
going to be a blowout. For me, he always has trouble against Mahomes. Mahomes is different. He's not Derek Carr, first off.
Yeah, exactly.
And Andy Reid is calling the plays.
Yeah.
He's just as smart as Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are giving up the least amount of points to the receiver in fantasy. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to run the ball and keep Mahomes off the field. That's the only way they're going to win this game. But Mahomes doesn't need that much time, so that doesn't work. You can't do that against the Chiefs, and that's why.
No, I wasn't saying that he was going to apply that same strategy to Mahomes.
No. I know. And I'm not arguing that either. I'm just saying reason why I agree with you that I think the Chiefs are going to win is because no matter how much you keep Mahomes off the field, when he's on it, he doesn't need that much time.
He doesn't. He's efficient. If he's on the field, chances are he's walking off the field because he put up a touchdown.
Exactly. I agree with you. I think they're going to try to scheme something up to try to stop him, but they're not.
They're going to end up winning. The Ravens are a better defense than New England. Personally, I feel like they're a better defense this year.
And they made him look foolish.
They made him look on national television. They made him look foolish.
I was embarrassed for the Ravens defense, and I'm not even a fan of that team or on that defense.
Yeah, Edwards-Helaire, 55 carries. That's elite. 240 yards, 4.36 yards per carry, one touchdown. I feel like they're still trying to force that goal line carry, and I'm not sure how.
How many rushing yards?
240.
Majority of it came in the first game, so.
He is getting a lot of pass catching work last few games, so you're right about that. There are three players with 20 targets on the Chiefs, Kelce, Hill, and Watkins. Not very surprising, right? Anything else from this game?
Nah, man, I'm taking the Chiefs.
And we're just going to keep it moving. Yep. So the next game is my Buffalo Bills, my 3-0 Buffalo Bills, who just beat the 2-0 Rams. Well, 2-1 now. Going up against, and we're going into the Death Star to face the Las Vegas Raiders at 2-1. The Raiders just lost to New England. They gave them a decent game. New England ended up destroying them. But what's the line here?
Another high over-under for your new and improved Buffalo Bills.
It feels like it's climbing every week.
Yeah, they're the dollar version Kansas City Chiefs. And they're favored by 3 points, which is a little disrespectful.
I feel like every week we have to say that, but it's okay.
It's got to be like 6.5. Yeah, the Raiders are home, but like, who cares?
Yeah. Josh, we mentioned an MVP candidate in Russell Wilson. I'm going to tell you that I think Josh needs to be maybe in the same conversations. 71% completion percentage, 1,038 yards, 9.7 yards per attempt. You know how good that is? 10 touchdowns, one interception, and that one interception was caught by our tight end, and it was wrestled away from by a player. So there's the 50-50 ball. Singletary and Moss. I wanted to talk about this because I do know that you're high on Singletary this week. And you're going to mention why. Is Moss, because he's back in practice, does that mess up your expectations for Singletary?
Nah, I think Moss, we know what he is. He's a change of pace guy. He's receiving back. And he's going to get his looks. He's almost like Kareem Hunt is to the Browns, with a little less experience, so they trust him less. I think they trust Singletary more in helping pass block and stuff like that, so. Coming off an injury, they're probably going to limit him a little bit more as well to just try to keep him fresh for the whole year because they're going to need him if they do make that playoff push. For me, I'll touch on this after I talk about Josh Allen real quick. Mm-hmm. Man, I've said it. I'm not shocked, but I'm impressed because I've always felt like Josh Allen had the potential to do exactly what he's doing. Before this year, this man never threw for 300 yards in a game. And so far, three games in, he's averaging 346 yards passing a game, which is top tier.
Yeah.
Competing with Russell Wilson and all these guys. Besides Russell Wilson, I think Josh Allen has been the best football player in the NFL so far this year. He's had one bad half of football that I've seen. And that was last week against the Rams in the second half where he could have made a couple of better choices, but he's still growing and he's still young. Yeah. He has room for improvement, and hopefully they are looking at that stuff, and they can be like, "Hey, we gotta come away, and we can't let that happen again, because we are a better team than what we showed out based off what they had done in the first half." To touch on the running backs and why I love Singletary this week, man, the Raiders get abused by running backs.
Yeah,
holy crap, they are giving up 35 points to the running back position, the worst in the NFL. If you look. What they have given up just the last weeks alone. They have played the Patriots. Rex Burkhead dominated them for 3 touchdowns. Kamara abused them. McCaffrey abuses everybody.
Wait, Sony Michel had like 8 carries for like 100-something yards
on him. Exactly. So this is why I feel like Moss won't hurt him. He'll only help.
Yeah.
Start all running backs against the Raiders. Moss might be a what the heck flex if you're in deeper leagues and you're very, very desperate. If he's healthy, yes, somebody I would play. But Singletary, you're starting in every single format. This is a guy who's been underperforming for the most part. But if you did watch last week against the Rams, the man was looking different. He was running different. And he had that gear, that motor that people love about him. I mean, why he is nicknamed that.
His nickname is Motor. I do want to say, and when we were talking offline about this matchup, when we were talking about the Bills, we were wondering to each other, are the Buffalo Bills in fantasy becoming like the Chiefs, where you have to start stashing some of their players?
Yeah.
I know obviously Stephon Diggs with his 28 targets, 288 yards, that looks beautiful. But did you know that Cole Beasley has 228 yards on 20 targets, and he's number two in the team in both of those categories?
That's a lot of yards. I didn't know he had that many yards, to be honest.
So if you look at Cole Beasley and you look at his percent owned, he's still probably out there, maybe not in deeper leagues, maybe not in 14-team leagues or 16-team leagues. But I'm certain that if you look in the waiver wire, Cole Beasley will be there, and that's not such a bad option to stash on your bench.
Yeah. Only thing that the Raiders are actually decent at is guarding the wide receiver. Mm-hmm. They give up the fifth least amount. So I'm not saying bench Stephon Diggs, or if you have to start Beasley, I'm not saying don't start those guys. But again, tempering expectations, they do funnel everything to the run game and teams do abuse it. So for that reason, they might not need receivers. But man, at this point, we might be saying that these receivers and all these players for the Bills are matchup proof, and you can just start them against anybody.
Yeah, the Bills offense is number two in the league. The Las Vegas in terms of yards allowed in the passing game is 16th. So Diggs maybe lower.
Yeah.
But Beasley is used to going across the middle, used to working against nickelbacks. Maybe he's the guy that in PPR especially.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm going to start him because I feel like it's not going to happen with Diggs like I think it is.
Yeah.
That being said, I feel like Buffalo has shown me that not only in the fourth quarter, I have Josh Allen, who's a dog in the fourth quarter. He was that before he improved this year. I just feel like Buffalo's defense still hasn't played to their potential, and that's scary to me.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see Las Vegas being able to, number one, keep up with Buffalo. Especially them being banged up at the receiver position. Who is their first receiver? Who's their number one? If you take away Waller, which you see he can be schemed out, who's going to step in? Because Josh Jacobs is at 68 carries. That's insane.
Yeah. No, his usage is high. They're going to have to rely on that, and I just think you can't do that against the Bills. They're very explosive offense. We can say that now. It's not weird.
Yeah.
That being said, we're both taking the Bills, and we're going to move on to the
Sunday. Yeah, yeah. One more thing. Hunter Renfro, 11 catches, 142 yards, 14 targets, and really he's only been playing the last two games, so something to note. The next game we have the 2-1 Philadelphia Eagles going to San Francisco to play the 2-1 San Francisco 49ers. What's the line?
The over-under is at 46, and the Niners are favored by -7. Man, what an ugly record. 0-2-1.
That's terrible.
And the NFC Philly. East.
Yeah.
The winner of that division is going to be the team who sucks the least.
Yo,
Nobody deserves a playoff spot.
I saw something today that said that 28 of, like, the 52 of Philadelphia Eagles players were not on the injury report. Yeah, we already knew that they were going to be banged up. It's just two straight years of the same thing. The biggest name that I'm going to say, and you already know who I'm going to say because he's no longer on your team, is Carson Wentz. 6 interceptions and 11 sacks. Has he regressed, or is he a product of having such a bad offensive line that he's running for his life?
And no weapons.
And the weapons, he keeps losing. He just lost Dallas Goedert. Ertz is the only person he has. He hasn't had Alshon Jeffrey. DeSean Jackson is hurt. Jalen Reagor, who they drafted in the first round for him to be a weapon, he's hurt. Who are you down to? Hightower? You're down to Hightower and Ward. Greg Ward. The converted receiver, Greg Ward. Yeah. So it's not looking pretty there on the Eagles side, unfortunately. And where I just Sanders is the bright spot, 38 carries, 190 yards and 5 yards of carry and a touchdown. So you like seeing that, especially since he missed time. But what was surprising about the, I want to tell you something that is surprising about the Eagles. If I tell you that they're fifth in total yards allowed in, on defense, they're fifth best, meaning they allow the least. Fifth best, ninth best in rushing yards against, because we know they're stout against the run. Seventh best against the pass, 23rd in points. That tells me that those turnovers are costing them.
Yep.
Because this team could easily be 2-1.
Yeah, they should have beat a lot of these teams that they lost to.
Yeah, but that scares me against a very clean and sound San Francisco team. Yeah,
even if it's the B team.
Yeah,
the 49ers rank top five in least points allowed to the quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. That's the only team in the NFL that does that. I don't see how Carson Wentz is going to put up points this week. They don't even have a sufficient amount of talent to really even pressure it, but just look what they've done to the last two teams. The Giants and the Jets, which again aren't the greatest, but are the Eagles that much better?
Yeah.
The fact that they're only favored by 7 points is solely because they're so hurt and they got the backup quarterback in there. But I can see the Niners just getting out of here unscathed and just getting out coached.
Yeah, Nick Mullins, who steps in, and he's actually a better quarterback. You know, we say that here, 70% completion percentage, 400 yards passing, 95% quarterback rating. You like that from somebody that just stepped in. The McKinnon show, what is the status of his ribs? Mostert, MCL, it's a mild strain. He's questionable right now. Do you want him to come back from a mild strain, or do you want him to rest another week? Does that mean Wilson Jr. steps in again and handles the goal line in the short yardage work? There's four people on the – hold on, bro. Jesus, I just had a random bug just going on. There's four people on the 49ers with 10 carries. Jesus. Open my shit. And remember I mentioned that bromance with Bourne still leads in targets, still leads in catches, and 164 receiving yards. Brandon Ayuk, we see you. 31 rushing yards, 91 receiving yards. That could be a thing.
Yeah, he looked good.
Yeah. That being said, we got the Niners. Anything else you need to say?
Deebo Samuel coming back, hopefully week 5, they're saying. So
ooh, big news. He's practicing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. And then last but not least, we have the Monday night game. We have the Atlanta Falcons, who are 0-3. Going up against probably the worst team they could be going up against right now, and the 3-0 Green Bay Packers on the Aaron Rodgers revenge tour. What's the line?
Over under 56.5.
Over all day.
And the Packers are favored by 7.
This matchup is unfortunate for Atlanta.
Aaron Rodgers is going to just go off.
They're coming off of two games where they've blown 20-point leads.
Yeah. Right? And I'll tell you that, what, they're not going to have that chance this week against the Packers. They will not go up early.
No.
And if they do, they're going to lose again because Aaron Rodgers will come back.
Green Bay's defense, you look at them, they're middle of the pack, which is decent because their offense is top 5 in almost every category. Second in total yards, second in rushing, sixth in passing, and first in points.
Yeah.
So that tells you they can go toe-to-toe. A-Rob playing crisp ball. 9 touchdowns, no picks, 121 quarterback rating. That is amazing. Jones, we mentioned elite number of carries. 50 carries, 300 yards, and 4 touchdowns. His touchdown numbers are going to be crazy, just like they were last year. Lazard, does Adams play? If he doesn't play, then you like all of the other options on Green Bay, like a Lazard, like a Tonyan. And maybe even Jace Sternberger?
Yeah, Sternberger.
He looked really good. He's young. He looked good. But Lazard, especially, I feel like they already have a good
Adams
relationship.
I don't know what the status is with Adams. I don't know if he's looking to miss again, or if he's cleared to play, or is he even practicing. He's somebody I love this week. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers this week is going to do what he normally does.
Yes, sir.
The Packers are suspect against the run, so maybe Gurley is in play here. Maybe he does score. But again, they're going to be playing from behind a lot. And I feel like I feel like the Falcons always just abandon the run and just force Matt Ryan to throw the ball 1,801 times. So I don't know what's going to happen here. I'm not going to get cute. I'm taking the Packers. The Falcons just keep beating themselves, and they're looking really bad, man. This coach is on the hot seat.
Yeah, the defense for Atlanta, 31st in total yards, 13th against the run because you don't have to run against them. 31st against the pass, 32nd in points. Their offense, 7th in total yards, 18th rushing, 3rd in passing, and 6th in points. So they've had to do a lot of throwing, and they've been behind because of their defense, or they've been ahead and they just don't know how to just keep the ball away from the other team. Maybe their offense is so good that they score too quick, but there's something going on there. Matt Ryan's numbers, you look at them, they look decent. 961 yards, 62% completion percentage, 7 touchdowns, 2 picks. Gurley, 49 carries, 197 yards, so 4 yards a carry. That's decent. Julio Jones, I think has the changing of the guard already happened, Rye?
Oh, man, I hate to admit it, but yeah.
Right? 21 catches on 35 targets. That's by far more than anyone on the team. Russell Gage is still number 2 in the team in targets, and he missed the whole game last game. I do have a name, is Zacchaeus.
Yeah.
He's, again, I know he's going to be a popular name, and they're probably going to be, oh, he's got a burst score of whatever. Temper, because he's 5'8", 188 pounds. So he might just be one of those guys that's like, you know, 3 catches, 4 catches a game max. But that being said, we both take Green Bay. We don't feel like Atlanta is going to be able to keep up. And even if they take a lead, there's no way Green Bay is going to lose this game. So
we're not betting against Aaron Rodgers.
No, not the way Aaron Rodgers is looking. He's looking very centered as a person. Like, he's looking peaceful. You got used to that, man.
He's been reading books.
That being said, it is over. And now we're getting ready to, I think this is one of my favorite parts of the episode. We're going to pick our stud, our dud, and our under the radar player. So Rye, you want to start it off with your stud?
Yeah, man, it comes to no surprise. I've been drooling over this matchup for a couple of weeks once I've seen what Seattle was doing and allowing to the wide receivers. My stud of the week this week is Devontae Parker. Seattle, like I said earlier, has allowed an average of 379 yards per game to opposing receivers while giving up 5 touchdowns. As an underdog in this game, expect Ryan Fitzpatrick to be throwing the ball and going to his favorite target. I expect Parker to eat. I'm projecting at least 100 yards and a touchdown.
All right, so I guess I got to come strong with my stud. And it's somebody that we both liked in the offseason. It was Kenyon Drake. Kenyon Drake is playing the Carolina Panthers, who we've already told you how dreadful they are against a running back. Look at what Eckler did the week before. I expect no different from a team that's looking to bounce back and kind of reestablish themselves as an up and coming and a team that's not going to, like, you know, lose games they're supposed to win. Kenyon Drake, I expect him to get a combined 105 yards and a touchdown in the air. That's my stud.
Bet. All right, I'll jump right into my bust. And when I say bust, I'm going at guys that I feel like are going to underperform based on what they're usually doing. And for me, I said it earlier in the episode, quarterbacks who face the Panthers never really have to perform that well because they're running. Why Juan is picking Kenyon Drake as a stud? They always go off. So my bust is Kyler Murray. Surprisingly, Carolina has allowed the third least fantasy points to the QB position this year at about 15 points per game. I'm tempering expectations for Kyler, and I'm predicting under 20 fantasy points this week for him, and that's bust, as he's usually putting up 25 plus.
Yeah. For me, I have a person that's surprising, and I don't want everyone to misconstrue what I'm saying and say that this is for the year. I'm saying for this week, I say that my bust is going to be Jefferson from Minnesota Vikings. He had a great game, 175 yards receiving, right? It was basically against a team that Tennessee hasn't really been the best at defending the pass. So, is it that he broke out? Did they open the offense up? The way Cousins is playing, it's a little scary, and they're going up against a team that's really good against the pass. 199 yards a game, that's third best. So you can beat them on the ground. I'm not so sure you can beat them in the air. And they already have Thielen, who's the number one target there. I don't really see Justin Jefferson all of a sudden being a guy that's going to get 8, 9, 10 targets. So for the most part, I put Jefferson's numbers at around 45 to 50 yards receiving, no score.
Cool. To finish this up, under the radar, I mentioned there earlier, man, running backs against the Raiders, they've allowed 35 points in non-PPR to the opposing running backs, worse than the NFL. And if you see what Rex Burkhead and Sonny Michel did last week to them, you will understand why I'm picking Devin Singletary as my under the radar. I'm expecting at least over 80 total yards and a touchdown, and that's – I'm tempering expectations. I wouldn't be surprised if he scores 2 touchdowns. Devin Singletary is going to be under the radar and go off.
Yeah, I got a guy that he's a rapper. His job is to go under the radar, right? He's not the number one receiver, so he's supposed to go, you know, and hide himself somewhere in the field and find a soft spot to be a security blanket for his quarterback. He did that for Dallas. He's doing that even better for Buffalo. I like Cole Beasley. You look at his numbers, you have no idea that I think in the last in his Buffalo career, Cole Beasley has failed to get 6 catches, I think about 4 times or some strange number like that, which is ridiculous to know. And that's, you know, that's a bulk of it playing with Josh Allen, 2019 version Josh Allen. This offense is open, and it looks like you said, the Raiders might be a little more difficult to pass against on the outside, but maybe the Josh Allen yards come from Cole Beasley. Maybe that connection comes. I think that my boy, Josh, Cole Beasley, you're under the radar.
Facts. Cool, man. Well, that's wrapping this up, and we got week 4 underway starting Thursday with that amazing game between the Broncos and the Jets. Hope you guys all enjoy that. We're still waiting to see what's happening with Tennessee and Pittsburgh. We'll be back next week, as always, with our picks. If you are picking along with us, make sure you drop your comments below. Mm-hmm. Let us know who your stud, bust, and under the radar picks are for this week. If you got to this point of the episode, just drop a like and subscribe so you don't miss these episodes when they do come out. And we do appreciate you guys listening and watching. Anything else, man?
No, I you know, it's a wild week. It's a wild season so far. We're having fun. But, you know, if you have any feedback, if you feel like there's anything you want to share with us, please feel free to email us at thefantasystandardtfs@gmail.com. That's thefantasystandardtfs@gmail.com. We're very quick to respond. What else do we have? Oh, the notifications. Make sure you click on that. If you're on a podcast platform listening right now, we appreciate that you stuck through this. We hope that we helped you win some money if you're going to use this to bet to gamble. And please, in the review is kind of how we know how we're doing. So just drop a review while you're here. Take a few minutes if you can. And that's all I have. We'll see you next time.
Yep. Take care, guys and ladies.